Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis, a summary of the Daf. The first thing that we have on the day's Daf deals with who the Malach, in the form of the snake, was really coming to kill. According to the first Shita, it's Kipshuta, like it says in the Pasuk. He was coming to kill Moshe because he involved himself with the accommodations of the hotel before he immediately went ahead and did the Bris Milah. The other Shita says that no. Chasen damim lamulais. Who's the chasen? The chasen is the baby. So it's the baby that he was coming to kill. The Ran says the baby becomes a chasen through the bris. The second Indian that we have on this daf pertains to the same overall discussion that Af and Chema were sent to kill Moshe. And then Moshe wanted to kill them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, no, don't. The Gemara brings the pasuk from Tehillim that says, Heref me'af va'azayv chema. Let go of Af, leave chema alone. And from which we darshan that Moshe didn't want to kill him, but Hashem didn't let him. The other sheet says, no, Moshe did at least manage to kill chema. Aye, but there's a pasuk later that says, ki agertim ibn af ve'achema. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael how afraid he was because of the Af and the Chema. And Hashem was so angry, kviyachol, about the Savera. So there's two sheets. Either there are two Chemas and Moshe Rabbeinu killed one of them, or it's referring to the legions of Chema. But Chema himself was killed. The next Indian, the Gemara discusses the godless of Bris Milah, how great of a mitzvah it is. And the expression that he uses is Ein lecha mi shenis asik b'mitzvahis k'Avram Avinu. There's nobody who did mitzvahis like Avram Avinu, and yet he was not called Tamim, he wasn't called Shalim, like we saw in the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, until he got the mitzvah Bris Milah. Then the Gemara says, Ashita, like we saw before in the Mishnah in the previous daf, Im Lagrizi Yam Valayla, etc., that we see that Bris Milah is the reason for why the world was created. And it's called Bris, which shows us that it's equivalent to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. But there's a different sheet that says that the Pasuk, at least the Pasuk of the Miloy Brisi Yam Balayla, is referring to Torah. And the Torah is the Schoskim of the world. The next point in the Gemara is dealing with when the Ribbono Shel Olam introduced the mitzvah of Bris Milah to Avraham Avinu. So, at the point when he said, Ishalech Lefanai Ve'yeh Samim, you know, Avram, I want you to walk before me. So you can imagine, Avram says the Gemara. The Gemara says that it happened. You can imagine. Avram is hearing these words. I want you to walk before me. I want you to... That's an expression of always being with Hashem, worshipping Hashem. So Avram gets all worried. He starts trembling. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But then when Hashem said, Ve'etno es brisi, I'll give you my bris. So then he calmed down. He realized that Hashem was just introducing a new thing to him that he didn't know about yet. The next nekudot is the pasuk Vayetze Yotze Achutza. He took Avraham Avinu out and he said, look up at the stars, from which Chazal Darshin in Mazal Yisrael, because Avraham Avinu said, you know, Hashem, I already know based on astrology that I can't have children or I can't have more than one son, Yishmael. And Hashem said, get out of your astrology, in Mazal Yisrael. The next nekuda is about a person who's masmim atzmai, which l'chayr means he makes himself tamim. He goes with simple wholeness. So the Gemara says two things about that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be masmim imai, that Hashem will also be able to be tamim with him. And another nekuda says the Gemara is that the shal yimedisle, which the Ran explains means he'll be ayul gdula, which l'chayr is the opposite of what we would tend to think in terms of how Olam Hazeh works. You know, people that climb the corporate ladder of success, so to speak, if they see a guy, you know, simple, wholesome guy, yeah, he's a simpleton, he's never going to get anywhere. Says Gemara, no, Adarabba, he's going to be Adul Gedula. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the humble, simple person. Then the Gemara talks about the other side of the spectrum, someone who's involved in Nachash V'Kesem, trying to do all different types of sorcery and things like that to figure out what is in store for him in the future. So if that's what he's involved with, so then he's going to have bad omens all the time. Things are not going to go his way, which is me, says the Gemara. He's always trying to be an Ibrahim and trying to be, you know, outsmart fate, if you will, so fate is going to have it for him. And on the other side of that coin is that if he doesn't involve himself in such things, and he just has bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, simple, straightforward, bitachon on Hashem, then ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put him in a machitza that even the Malach HaYashar can't go to, and as the Ran says, Mita Keneged Mita, that because he was happy to just, you know, I don't have to know anything, Hashem, I trust you with my fate and my future. So Mita Keneged Mita, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kemiyahu, I'm going to reveal to you the secrets that even the Malach HaYashar don't know. The next nekuda is that what was the reason for why Klal Yisrael had to suffer for 210 years in Mitzrayim, the slavery? Because that was the number of years that they actually suffered under the boot of slavery. So there are three shittas over here. What it was that Avraham Avinu did that required such a punishment. The first shita is that when he made the milchama against the four kings, he took his 318 chanichav, which is a lashon of chinuch, which means the people that he taught Torah. So he used Talmidei Chachamim and was mavatal them from Torah for the sake of this milchama. Apparently, the point is that he should have hired an army. Shouldn't have used this Talmidim. The second shita is that he was mafriz al midas v'shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. He allowed himself to wonder too much about how Hashem does things, and he said, "B'ma'ido ki roshenu." Hashem, how do I know that I, my descendants, are going to inherit the land? The third shita is that when he beat the four kings and he saved all the people of Sodom, so he should have kept them and he should have brought them under the Kanfei Hashchina by teaching them Torah, teaching them morality, teaching them about the Almighty. And instead, he gave in and he acquiesced to the demand or request of the king of Sodom, Tenli HaNefesh, and he gave him back. So those are the three shitas of what it was that Avram did that we needed this Einish of Radu of 210 years. Fine, and then parenthetic to that, the Gemara says, Vayarek es chanichav. What's Vayarek es chanichav? It's a lashon of Hayrikan. Either Hayrikan Tyre or Hayrikan Zav. Which, according to the opinion, is Hayrikan Zav, means he paid them a lot of gold to convince them and cajole them into waging this battle. The shita that says Tyra, the Ran says, either it means it's just referring in general to the fact that he poured so much Tyra into them, or it means that he emptied them of Tyra in this particular instance when he used them for the battle. Then the Gemara brings the shita that says that the 318 soldiers that he had were really just Eliezer. There was one shita that says Eliezer was equivalent to all of them, and the other sheet says, no, it was just Eliezer, the gematria of Eliezer's name. If you add it up, it's 318. Then the Gemara brings another gematria of Ekev. It says, by Avraham Avinu, Ekev asher shama v'koyli. Asher shama Avraham v'koyli, because he listened to my voice. So the Gemara says, what's the gematria of Ekev? 172. How many years did Avraham Avinu live until he died? 175. From here we see, says the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu was 3 years old when he came to his awareness of the Bayrei Olam. Another gematria, says the Gemara, is Ha-Satan. Ha-Satan is 364, because there's one day out of the year, explains the Ran, I believe it's the Gemara in Sukkah, if I remember correctly, there's one day out of the year that the Satan cannot say anything bad against Klal Yisrael, and that's on Yom Kippur. The next Nekuda is that before Avraham Avinu had Bris Milah, he was called Avram, without a hey. Then with the Bris Milah, he was called Avraham, he had a hey added to his name. What's this implication? What's the significance? Because before he had the Bris Milah, he only had control, he only had melucha, kingship, if you will, over 243 limbs of his body. There were five that he still didn't have total shlita on. And then when he got the Bris Milah, he got the hay, he got those five also for the full 248. And what are those five? The two eyes, the two ears, and the Reish HaGviyah. And the Ran says that your eyes and your ears, you don't have full shlita over such a thing because you have no choice. You're walking down the street. If you close your eyes, you're going to fall. So your eyes are open when you're walking down the street. You might see something. Or your ears are open. You might hear something. But when Avraham Avinu got the Bris Milah, he had shlita even on those five. Then, parenthetic to that, the Gemara brings the pasuk that says, "Here, Katana v'Anoshim Bamaat, a little city, it's in Kehelis, a little city in a, with a few people living in it. A big king comes, surrounds the city, and he builds big traps and sets up a whole ambush around the city. But there was one poor but wise man in that city. And he managed to save the whole city and get it to be, to escape from the clutches of this evil king with his wisdom. And nobody remembered that poor wise man. So what's going on? Says the Gemara, the small city is the body. The people that live in it are the limbs. The king surrounding it with traps and ambushes is the Yetzirah and his weapons of Averis. The wise poor man, or the poor wise man, is the Yetzer Tov. His Chachma expresses itself in Tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim. And people not remembering him is because at the moment when the Yetzirah is chopping a person, people just totally forget about the Yetzer Tov. Similarly, the Gemara brings the pasuk in Kehelis that says, "A chachma ta'iz l'chacham, yasara shalitim." Wisdom emboldens and empowers a wise man more than 10 rulers. What's the wisdom? Tshuva nice and tight. What are the 10 rulers? The eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, the reish hagviyah, and the mouth. Explains the Ran, because those parts of the body are the parts that basically do more or less everything. The last inyan of this perek is about Shem ben Noach, Malchut Tzedek, how it says Kayin lekel Elyon, he was Kayin. So really, Kahuna was supposed to come from Shem, or maybe also Shem. But because after the Melchama, after Avram Avinu beat out the four kings, because he said a bracha to Avram before he said a bracha to Hashem, so he lost that schos of kahuna. And the kahuna, because Avram Avinu responded and he said, "What, you give a bracha to the Eved before you give a bracha to the master? It doesn't make any sense." So the koyach of kahuna, the schos of kahuna, was transferred to Avram Avinu. The Ran explains it, even though Avram Avinu was a descendant of Shem, but it wasn't the koyach Shem. It wasn't in the schos of Shem. It was only the schos of Avram Avinu. Then the Mishnah and the little piece of Gemara that begins the next parak of Ein Bein Amudr talks about the difference between if someone makes a neder forbidding meichel, food-oriented things, versus a neder which forbids any type of benefit. And the Mishnah says basically there's two differences, and that's it, between these two types of nedarim. And that is drisus aregel, right of way, well not right of way, but allowing someone to, let's say, go through your yard to cut through, cutting through your property, passing through your property, and items, objects, tools, vessels that are not used for food preparation. If he made a nether forbidding all types of benefits, so those two categories are also forbidden. But if his nether was only forbidding food-oriented matters, so then those two categories are permitted because they have nothing to do with food. And the Gemara says that, going on the point of drisus haregel, of cutting through someone's yard or something like that to get somewhere, that has to be going like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that even vitur is aser, meaning even things that most people could not care less and don't mind at all doing such favors for others, like letting someone pass through your yard to get somewhere. That also is included in the prohibition of a neder when someone becomes prohibited to get benefit from you. Whereas the Rabbanon hold that things that are vitur, that anyway anybody wouldn't care about that, so it's mutter. The Ran says it's specifically talking about drisus haregel, where you're not going to tarry, you're not going to hang around over there, you're just going to pass through. How do we pasuk in the Maisa? The Ran says it's a machlokes rishonim. Then the Mishnah gives two examples of things that are food-oriented tools, vessels, kalim, and examples of things that are not. A sifter, a sieve, a grinder, an oven, all these things are food-oriented. A shirt, rings, talasin, these things are not food-oriented. And the Ran says that the chiddush of the sifter and the sieve is that you still have numerous steps to go before you can actually eat it. So you might have thought, oh, maybe that's not really considered food-oriented. So come on, someone that, no, that is considered food-oriented. Okay, so that sums up the daf. Now just a few ha'aris on some of the nekudas that we saw over here. One ha'ara that I had, we saw at the beginning that a baby, when he gets a bris milah, is called a chasen. So I just wanted to point out that that's something to think about. Why? Why is he called a chasen? A chasen, at least up until this point, we always assumed meant what we call a chasen, a groom in English, right? Someone who's about to get married or just married. So why is a baby with a bris milah, why is it called a chasen? In what sense is he a chasen? I was thinking maybe you could say that he's a mechotun to the bris. Because what is chasen? What is chasen is milashon chasuna, chitun. Marriage. What is marriage? Marriage is union. It's binding, coming together. So the bris effectively weds this human being to brisa shel Avraham Avinu, to the covenant of Avraham Avinu, to the Am Hashem, if you will. The next ta'ara is that the Gemara said there's nobody who was involved with doing mitzvahs like Avraham Avinu. And even he was only called complete when he got bris milah. So, you know, when you're thinking about Avraham Avinu, which mitzvahs is the Gemara referring to? I would imagine that it's primarily referring to the mitzvah that we know most about Avraham Avinu, which is the Chazal Sarchim. Not to say Chas Hashem that Avraham Avinu didn't do all the mitzvahs. The Chazal say Mefurish that the Avos HaKadoshim were Mekayim, even the Rabbanans. But in terms of his Esek B'mitzvahs, what was his Esek B'mitzvahs? L'cha'ayra, the Gemara means in terms of the Gemilas Chasadim of Chas Hashem, which, by the way, there's a Maharsha somewhere, I don't recall right now where, who says that Hachnazas Archim is the Gedailah Shebegamilus Chasadim. It's the greatest form and expression of Chesed. Okay, that's a whole question why that is. But in any event, if you've ever read All for the Boss, and you read about Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman, you can't help but wonder to yourself. Now, I know this might sound like a silly question, but the truth is, I think it's still fair. You know, what was Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman lacking, or anybody who had a similar type of approach to the mitzvah of Hachnas Sarchim, what was he lacking that Avraham Avinu had? What was he lacking? His Hachnas Sarchim was beyond belief, and it wasn't just on Shabbos, it was the whole week round. People would sleep at his house for a day, for days, for weeks, for however long they needed to. He fed them, he took care of them, he went and looked for them. And it wasn't just that, you know, he had nice people over, he had deranged people, he had difficult people. There's even one mice over there that one Shabbos, many of the guests were complaining that there was a particular guest who ate in a very sloppy, slobby, you know, uncouth way. And then one of the meals, they basically arranged, quote unquote, that he would sit at a side table by himself. Well, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman walked into the room. He saw what was going on. He took his plate and he sat down at that side table next to the gentleman that had been ousted from the regular table. Well, you can imagine that everybody felt contrite and okay. So, first of all, I don't know. It could be, I once heard, I believe it was from Meiri Virabi Rav Tversky, Zatzal Hashem Yinkam Damai, who said that the koyach, the ability for Yidden to be meiser nefesh, throughout the Dairis, even very, very pasha, the Yidden, were able to be meiser nefesh in the blink of an eye. Not only that, there are stories of people of Yidden that Rachmana Litzlan lived as apikarsim. They lived as kaifrim, as mishumadim, their whole life. And then in a moment, there was a story, I think, of a particular Yid, maybe in Brisk, I don't remember, when the Germans overtook the city. So at one point they told this mishumid, we want you to go into the shul and take out a Sefer Torah in the shul. So he took out the Sefer Torah. And then they told him, I don't know, I think it was something like, throw the Sefer Torah on the floor and stomp on it or jump on it or something like that. And he went, almost had with this crazy look in his eyes, and started screaming at them, me? Jump on a Sefer Torah and desecrate a Sefer Torah. And he started like screaming Chas V'Shalom, and he starts dancing with the Sefer Torah and saying how much he loved the Sefer Torah, and they shot him on the spot. And that's how he died. So where does this Koyach come from? Even people that live such simple lives, and sometimes Rachmanon Tzlan, even people that live as Mishumadim, wind up in the moment of truth being Meiser Nefesh. Where did that Koyach come from? That Koyach came from Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. That they created, forged, this power of being able to, in the moment of truth, be Meiser Nefesh. So maybe you could say that up until Avraham Avinu, there was nobody who was Isaac in Mitzvahs the way that he was Isaac. You'll say that there were Yidden after him that also did like him. So even if you'll say, yeah, but it's only me Kaychai, it's only because he's the one who implanted that ability within us. It's in our DNA from him. Okay, I'll go upon him. Aha'ara. I don't know if it's a real ha'ara, something to think about. Another ha'ara. On the Gemara that said, Vayayitze, Hashem took him out of his thinking about astrology, took him above the stars, in Mazal Yisrael. Now, there's a Gemara, I think it's in a few places, one of them I believe is in Brachos, where Rava said, or maybe it was a Yechanan, Bonei Chayei Umezoinei, Lam bischus Italian, elam mazal Italian. A person, if he's gonna have children, how many children? If he's gonna have parnasa, how much parnasa? If he's gonna live, how much life he's gonna live? That's not dependent on a person's merits or demerits. It's dependent on his mazel. Now, mazel means that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is that how the constellations are set up at the moment of a person's birth and other things that have to do with that determines the channels of what will be the particulars of his life. So Taisus over there asks the Kasha, if I'm remembering correctly, it's Taisus. And Taisus answers like this. When the Gemara says, Ein Mazel Yisrael, it does not mean that there's no mazel at all for Klal Yisrael. There is a mazel, but it can be overcome with a lot of tefillah and a lot of schusim. That's how Taisus answers it. Now, I would feel derelict if I did not mention that there is a ga'in, a Pirush HaGra, on Megillas Esther. When he's explaining Hipil Pur Lifnei Haman, what does it mean, Hipil Pur Lifnei Haman? Haman cast a lottery? Which day am I going to kill all the Jews? And in front of whom did he cast this lottery? In front of Haman. It seems totally superfluous. So the Gaon explains that Haman was trying to figure out which day, based on astrological considerations, is the most opportune day for him to be able to beat out the Jewish people. So he couldn't attempt, explains the Gaon, to determine which day the Jewish people have the lowest ebb on their astrological strength, because the Jewish people don't have any astrology. There's no mazel. So he only could do it based on which day would be his highest ebb on the astrological graph. So that's why it's Lifnei Haman. He was trying to figure out which day is the best mazel for him. Because, explains the Gaon, further he elaborates, that Klal Yisrael, within the system of mazalos, would not exist. That's what our Gemara is saying. That's how the Gra explains it. Avraham Avinu said, Hashem, I know the way you run your world and the whole astrological system. And I see clearly I cannot bear children. So Hashem said, no, but you're not going to function within that system. I have a whole different system called the Malam and Ateva. That's a system that functions with particular channels that I manipulate all the time. But I have another system, which is directly under me, so to speak, without all those channels. And that is going to be the Metzias of you and all your progeny. So according to the way the Gaon explains it, it's a little bit difficult to hear how that Gemara and Brachas and the Taisus fits in. Because according to the Gaon, L'chara the Pshat is Kipshutei Mamish, there is no Mazel. Klal Yisrael does not have Mazel. They don't exist within the framework of Mazel. So I'm going to leave that as a Tzar Chiyum. Okay, another interesting, not a Ha'ara, but maybe a Ha'ara with an Aleph. Just a thought that I had. The Gemara said that 318 is referring to Eliezer, because that's the gematria of his name. So I was thinking, what's the significance? If you do 318 in the most simple way of translating the numbers to the letters, it would be a Shin for 300, a Yud for the 10, and a Ches for the 8, a Shin with a Chai. So what's Shin, Yud, and Ches? Siach. Siach. So what's the significance of Siach? There's a Medrash. Rashi brings this Medrash on the Parshas Chayisaro, that it says, Yofe Sichasan shall Avdei Avos Yoiser Mitarasan shall Bonim. That look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu had such a chiba for the Avos, that the conversation very well may be that the single longest conversation recorded in the Torah in one shot, that is when Eliezer was saying his piece to Rivka's family. It's a very long, as far as Torah yardstick is concerned, it's a very long record of a conversation of what was said. And many halachos and mitzvahs of the banim of Klal Yisrael later, when they got the mitzvahs, are just, you know, a slight tiny little letter or remez or drasha. And yet when it came to the siach, the discussion of the Avdei Avos, look how long it goes. So I was thinking maybe, but there are remez, that was the nekuda in Eliezer, that his siach, look how much attention the Torah gave to his siach. He was the koyach of siach. Okay. The next Ha'ara that I had, when the Ran said, originally, the Gemara said, originally Avraham Avinu only had two Shlita and Malchus on 243 Avarim, and then, when he got Bris Mila, he got the hay, and he had the rest of the five, the eyes, the ears, and the Reish HaGvia. So the Ran said, because the eyes and the ears, you don't have control over them. You might just all of a sudden see something. Al-Karachacha. You might hear something. Al-Karachacha. So, what happened? When Avraham Avinu got the hay, how did Avraham Avinu change in that regard? What, now Avraham Avinu could be walking down the street and could only see things that have to do with mitzvahs and only hear things that have to do with mitzvahs? There's a concept, there's a pasuk, Raglei Chassid of Yishmar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives special siyata d'shmaya to people that are very devoted to him, that they shouldn't be nichshol. I remember hearing on a tape, Rav Yaakov Weinberg once said that one of the major things that led David HaMelech to be with Bathsheba when he was, is that the pasuk says he was on the roof, and he saw Bathsheba going to mikveh, and it was occurred to him, what's going on over here? It's so not sneistic for me to see a woman going to the mikveh. why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have protected me from seeing such a thing? And he reasoned in his mind that it must be that Adarabo, this is a simin min hashamayim, that now is the right time. Now obviously it's coupled together with the fact that he probably already knew, I seem to remember hearing or seeing somewhere, that he already knew with Ruach HaKadosh that eventually he was going to have the Hemshech of Malchus Beis David and the Messianic line through Bathsheba. Just wasn't sure when the right time was. So he took this as the Simon HaShemayim when the right time was. And Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg explained deeper that in Kabbalah, the Midah of Malchus has to come from the Tzad Nukva. It has to come from the feminine side. If you ask me what that means, I won't tell you because I don't know, because he didn't explain it. He just said it. So that means, explained Rav Weinberg, that whenever there's a link in the chain of leading up to Mashiach, Malchus Beis David, there has to be an initiative from the feminine side. Normally, it's always the male side, which is the one who's making the initiative. But when it comes to Malchus, there has to be an initiative from the feminine side. That's why, this is totally parenthetic, but once we mention it, it's very interesting. That's why, explained Rav Weinberg, that every relationship that has to do with leading up to Malchus Beis David had something strange in it. The very first one that the Torah talks about is Light with his daughters. It doesn't get stranger than that, right? Because who came from there? Moav. Moav. Rus came from Moav. Rus was the ancestress of David Melech. The next one, if I remember correctly, that the Torah mentions is Yehuda and Tamar. Also a very strange thing going on over here. She was married to his sons, and she dressed up like a Zayin on the Derech. The next one, I'm trying to remember what was the next one, I hope I'm not missing any of them, but Boaz and Rus. Rus went to his house, and she got herself all dolled up, and she went into his bed. Now, all these relations, very strange. Why? So he explained, because Be'etzim, in the male-female relationship, it's supposed to be, the way things are supposed to work, is that the male makes the initiative. But because Malchus requires Tzad Nukvo, for whatever reason, feminine initiative, well, whenever there's going to be feminine initiative, there's going to be something strange. And he said that the only one who really, this is the way he said it, I'll call upon him, the only one that held it in check and said, okay, Atkan, we don't have to do it now, was Boaz. Up upon him, so that's how he explained that David HaMelech understood that this was the Hisayrus from the Tzad Nukva, and that's why he took her, and that was his mistake. And once we said it, may as well explain the message. He said that the lesson that we learned from there is that you can't be smarter than the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, you can't be an Iber Chacham. The Torah says, if Nasan and Navi came to David, and he made up this whole story about the lamb, and the guy took the lamb, right? Why? Because he wanted David to chap how pashit it was that he did the wrong thing. It was the wrong thing to do at that time, at least for him on his level, and for the whole Cheshvin. So the pshat is that if you would have been shaykel, if David HaMelech would have weighed the issue in his mind, based on a halachic, you know, based on the halachic principles, on the principles of right and wrong that we know from straightforward approach to understanding the mitzvahs of the Torah, he would have come out pashut that this is not the time. This is not the right thing to do. But it was a little bit of an Iber Chacham. Okay, this is a long shmooze. We'll talk about this a different time. So let's go on. Also, how did I get into this whole thing? Because the Ragli Chassid of Yishmar. So, I'm just asking, in what sense did Avraham Avin become melech over the eyes, the ears, and the Reish HaGvia? The Reish HaGvia, okay, that we can hear. But the eyes and the ears? So if you're going to tell me, no, from now on he gets special siyata d'shmaya, that he won't see anything or hear anything that doesn't have to do with mitzvahs. So that's not him. That's not his malchus. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu giving him special siyata d'shmaya. In what sense could that be considered his malchus? I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that. The last Sahara that I wanted to point out is that you see from this Gemara a very important insight. The Gemara said, Milait b'chachmasai, the poor wise man saved the city with his wisdom. Chachma ta'oiz, wisdom emboldens, empowers the Chacham more than the 10 electors, the 10 princes. What is this Chachma, says the Gemara? Tshuva and Maizim Ta'ivim. You see from here that the basic, fundamental footing and foundation of Tshuva and Maizim Ta'ivim is Chachma. Chachma, I mean, the truth is that you see two things. That Chachma will express itself in Tshuva and Maizim Ta'ivim, if it's true Chachma. And Tshuva and Maizim Ta'ivim is an expression of Chachma. The main point that I wanted to say, I'll use a... So I once saw written, I don't remember, a storybook or whatever it was, that there was a woman, a wealthy woman, who was bringing, helping, volunteering to bring food packages to needy families. And she knocked on the door of a particular family, and she made a whole big, almost parade-like, what to do with all bringing in all the food, and her children were there with her. And you can imagine that the poor people, the family was absolutely mortified. You know, those that are in that situation, loyaleinu, meaning, well, the truth is, I don't know which one is a more loyaleinu, right? I don't know which one is worse, the wealthy woman or the poor people in this, you know. But in any event, someone who's in that situation knows very well, and people that are involved with helping such people, is poor people are regular, normal people that have normal lives, normal dignity, just they happen to be in a difficult financial situation. They're no less important, significant, dignified people, and a story such as that gives a sense that this wealthy woman, she almost looks at them as like lab rats. You know, they're like these poor, like a poor little Nebuch baby that you just need to take care of. No, they're people, they're dignified, they're important, they're significant, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in this situation, by the way, the Gemara says, because he wants to give you a schus to be able to help them. In any event, that's an example of quote-unquote Maizim Tovim, and I don't know if you could even call it Maizim Tovim because the degree of shame and embarrassment and indignity that she imposed on this family probably canceled out any schus that she might have had by helping them. But that's an example of quote-unquote Maizim Tovim without Chachma. You need Chachma for Maizim Tovim. You need Chachma for Tshuva. Okay, Adkan. Shkoyach.